Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It is easy to leave a burning building when it is on fire. But what if that building contains the very thing that gives you life, excitement, peace, joy, courage, and wonder? Will you be an agent of change, or do nothing and eventually leave? If you work in Catholic ministry, business, or education, and need quality content on your website or social media pages, contact The Simple Catholic for copywriting services at thesimplecatholic.blog and click on the writing services page for more information. The Church Militant needs soldiers against the enemy. Enlist The Simple Catholic in this fight for the truth.
Good morning. Aloha. How's that for a bad hair day on a Monday? Hi, Ted. Looking forward to seeing you soon. Trying to see if I can brighten up this a little bit, but I guess not. I no longer know how to do that because things change all the time here. So let me try one more thing. There we go. There we go. A little bit better. Wow. That is one bad hair day. Yep. That's good. Okay. It's almost as bad as having a bug in my coffee this morning, but you know, it's just protein, so we like it like that. Good morning, everybody. I hope you had a great weekend. We did. Got back from EWTN on Friday night, and I'm really hopeful. It seems like they might be wanting to, well, they've said they're very interested in carrying our Ocean Sunrise Catechism EWTN Facebook page. So if we do that, we're going to really need your guys' help to come over there and help us launch that and make everybody feel at home. But that's something that we should all, if you wouldn't mind, I'd really appreciate it if you guys would all pray for it. Hi, Dan. Oh, Dan Barta, the Astros. What a great story, huh? I was just talking with Matt Swaim, you know, on the EWTN morning show, and I didn't bring up the Nationals because that's his big team. When the Dodgers were beating him, I definitely brought it up. But then when they beat us, I didn't. But about every, you know, we keep bringing that up through the playoffs. But today, I didn't mention it. I thought it would not. I would not get in his good graces. Also, go Baylor Bears. They're ranked 11th in the nation after having that huge, horrible sex scandal there, and almost the whole football season, whole football program, going down the tubes. They hired such a strong, quality Christian a coach, building his team on integrity and, you know, getting a good education and putting the players first instead of winning, and seeing them build that 7-0 season is pretty cool. I don't watch football on Sundays, though, because you got to choose Saturday or Sunday. You can't do them both. It's too tough. But yesterday I got to have a long 4-mile stand-up paddle surf. I just kind of paddled a mile down and a mile back, but in the meantime, I'm surfing waves. And so it all accumulates to 4 miles, including the surfing. But good to be here with you guys. This is the Didache that we're reading from. This is the one I usually have. It's just a very slender little book. We're almost halfway through it. We're a third of the way through it already. And we're studying this and kind of getting in preparation for restarting the Ocean Sunrise Catechism. So it's very humid and warm here, and I think there's a lot of pollen in the air, so I might be sniffling a little bit. Hi, John Clapucci, good to see you. Chapter 5, but the path of death is this. So this is talking about the two paths. And who are we writing here to? So I'm just getting text. So, my son's texting me this morning, which is a blessing, but kind of an interruption. So, the Didache was written around 65 AD to the second generations of Christians who were on their way to becoming baptized. So it was probably about a 2-year course when they were being trained. So one of the things to talk about is the two paths. But the path of death is this. First of all, it is evil and full of cursing. There are found murderers, adulteries, lusts, fornication, thefts, idolatries, soothsaying, sorceries, robberies, false witnessing, hypocrisies, double-mindedness, craft, pride, malice, self-will, covetousness, filthy talking, jealousy, audacity, pride, and arrogance. Whew, that's a lot. This is the way of death. So is it true that once saved, always saved then? Because if you're saved by Christ, that heresy that says if you're saved, then once you're saved, you're always saved. But here it says you can't do these things and be on the way. It's doing these things is the way to death. We can't mistake presumption for faith in God. There are they who persecute the good, lovers of a lie, not knowing the reward of righteousness, not cleaving to the good, nor to the righteous judgment, watching not for the good, but for the bad, from whom meekness and patience are afar off, loving things that are vain, following after recompense, having no compassion on the needy, not laboring for him that is in trouble, not knowing him that made them, murderers of children, corruptors of the image of God, who turn away from him that is in need, who oppress him that is in trouble, unjust judges of the poor, erring in all things. From all these children may you be delivered. So to stay away from these type of people. How can I say this? Missionary zeal is one thing, to want to proclaim the gospel to people. And it's very effective when you're speaking to people who are really desirous of finding God. But for those who are of this type of person, it's almost like, don't waste your breath. It's, as Jesus said, don't throw your pearls among swine. It's not our place to judge, so we want to be open to communicating with them. But if there's people like this in our life that are just dragging us down and kind of sucking the very life out of you, you have to be discerning. What is God saying to you about that? If they have hardened their heart and this is the path they're going, pray for them. That's the most effective thing. Ask for God to intervene. But it is not your job to save those who don't want to be saved. I don't want to say to be judgmental from people, and you should always try your best to be a witness to them, but some people are just there to just will be put in your path by Satan just to divert your attention from those that God's really calling you to serve. So it's like my friend Gerard Middleton says, he was the pastor for the Hurricanes when they won their national titles, the team. He said, some people are not on my championship diet. You know, just suck life and energy out of me and waste my time when I can be spending my time with people who really want to receive and really want to grow in the Lord. So stay away from these kinds of people. Psalm 1 says this, don't hang around don't sit in the seat of scoffers, don't hang around them, because you become like the people you hang around. That's the truth. You think that I'm going to go there and hang out with these people and I'm going to evangelize them, and actually they're evangelizing you. So it's good to do that, to reach out. I'm not saying not to do that, to take discernment, to reach out to people, but there's some people that you just need to kind of, as Paul, Jesus said, brush off the feet, the dust from your sandals, and go on. It's really important that some of us who are of such a loving nature get sucked and trapped into situations with people that are just wanting to take advantage of us and take our happiness for their own and drag us down with them. Hi, Lisa. Good to see you. Now we're going to move to chapter 6. See that no one makes thee to err from this path of doctrine. since he who doeth so teacheth thee apart from God. This is what Cardinal Newman wrote about in his Apologia. I've read it. It's a beautiful book about his decision 150 years ago to become, to leave behind the Anglican Church and become Catholic. He had been studying the early church fathers in order to defend the Anglican faith, and in the process he felt undone. It was like the emperor isn't wearing any clothes, and he came to realize that the path to Rome is the path to life, and when you turn to another direction than from the authority and the magisterium of the church, there's so many beautiful, strong Christians that are not Catholic, but that path of everyone discerning the Bible for themselves, and I have my own personal God, and I have no reculiana to authority in my life, eventually, Cardinal Newman says, leads to atheism. We're kind of seeing that today in the world today. I get to believe whatever I want to believe. I get to interpret scriptures for myself. And the Protestant world has gradually come into a gospel of just all you have to do is be nice. You know, how many people are living together, for example, outside of marriage and things like that. So Cardinal Newman said, basically, he said there's two paths, the path that leads to the Roman path that leads to atheism, ultimately. It may not be so in each person's individual life, but in the societal framework, it's definitely true. We need to have a teaching authority. So why not go to the place that the early church fathers talked about, the primitive church talked about? From the very beginning, we see Clement of Rome writing that he's the third prince of Peter, third pope removed from Peter, writing to the Corinthians, you know, writing to them in a very fatherly way. And we see Ignatius writing against, Irenaeus writing against heresies about the year 150 or so from Lyon, France, saying this is what he was defending, orthodoxy against heresy. And then when he was done, he said, but if anything I say here is not in accordance with Rome, then I submit to Rome. Although he was actually defending the authority of the Bishop of Rome. So just a very strong statement here that I don't think Christ is a builder. He's a technon, the Bible says. It doesn't say he's a carpenter. It says he's technon, he's a builder. He probably built more with rock than with wood, because there's no wood, hardly any wood in Israel. If you go there, there's only one house made out of wood, and that's the prime minister's house. Everything, all the other houses are made out of rock, or in Jesus' day, they would carve out into the cliffs and then extend the house out with the rock that they carved out. So he was very strong. He was a good builder. But the only thing we know that he said he would build is he would build his church. And he said, God, may they be one. And right now in Christianity, all we see is this great division. And even in the Catholic Church, we see many, many people, politicians that will say, well, I'm a Catholic, and yet they believe in abortion. You cannot be both. Either you're an Orthodox Catholic or you're not Catholic. As Bishop Sheen said, Fulton Sheen said, if you choose, I believe this. If you kind of are a menu Catholic, a cafeteria Catholic, where you choose what to believe and not to believe among the Orthodox teachings of the Church, then you're not Catholic. If thou art able to bear the whole yoke of the Lord, thou wilt be perfect. But if thou art not able, what thou art able, do that. So it's saying that we realize that you are, that you're not perfect, that you have a fallen nature, you have concupiscence, selfishness, pride. We all have different things, that the lust of the eye, the lust of the body, you know, the pride of life. But to the extent that you can cooperate with God's grace, and it's a journey, then be perfect. And I always believe that when Jesus said, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect, it was the same Jesus that said, let there be light. So Jesus was not just commanding you, but it was a creative statement that he would help that perfection to come to fruition in your life. But concerning meat, bear that which thou art able to do. But keep with care from things sacrificed to idols, for it is the worship of the infernal deities, demons. So they're saying, sure, eat meat, but to the extent that you can, don't eat meat that is sacrificed to idols. The fact is that in a lot of the world, remember 65 AD was, I have two coins in my house that were minted by the Jews during their great uprising in the mid 60s and 70s when they rebelled against Rome. And as a result, they actually, first of all, they rebelled against each other. The Zealots, they say, killed more other Jews than the Romans themselves, because they were killing people that weren't, they didn't feel were being totally true to the Jewish teaching. And then there was this big uprising, and they were able to defeat Rome for a limited time. And then when Rome came in, they destroyed the temple, no stone left unturned, and temple worship ceased. They're writing to the Jew, to the Christians during this time. But this isn't just meant for the people in Jerusalem, it's meant for the people, all to the nations. It says the training for those in all the nations, the Gentile world. Where if you were in Athens, there was the meat there was probably sacrificed to an idol before it was delivered to the market. So to the extent possible, don't do that, but don't eat the meat offered to idols. But if you can't avoid that, then do. So it's just interesting the different times of the different ways that Catholicism has, what it has gone through. And yet it is the longest surviving human organization, and I would say not just human, but among human organizations, it's the longest surviving organization in the world. Of course, that's because it's not human, it's ordained by the Lord. Enjoy the sunrise a little bit. Love you guys. See you in the morning. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Aloha and ahui ho.
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.